There are those in our day who want to deny that there's a Christian basis for the Constitution and American government. But you've got to be blind to read any kind of history in the documents of our country to know that our country was built on Christian principles. In fact, there's a book called Jesus in Peking, where a man has documented how Christianity is influencing China. And they had a lecture from a scholar who belongs to a study group, a group of scholars, a social scientist, who wanted to discover the secret of why the West is so dominant. And they first thought it was because they had better guns than anybody else had. That didn't work. Then they thought they had a better government. And no, a better economic system. And they decided that the reason why the West has triumphed in the world is because of Christianity. That's in communist China. And it's been 20 years since this was written. They said that for the last 20 years we've come to that conclusion, and we have no doubt about it. So here we have scholars, so-called, in our universities denying a Christian basis for our country.
Right.
And here the communist Chinese have recognized that fact. God in his providence put this country here, I believe, for the sake of the gospel mainly. We think of just little things that can change history. God had to pinch a little baby in a basket one time to get him to cry so that a woman would be touched by that cry and take him home and raise him. Pharaoh is wanting to drown all the male children and destroy Israel. God takes one of those babies and puts him in his household, raises him in his own house. Later on, another Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea. But you and I wouldn't be here if that little baby died. Amen? Another occasion, the Jews were doomed for extinction. And if they were all extinguished, then we would not be here. Be no Bible, be no Christ, be no salvation. And so he kept the king up all night and let him sleep. And he wanted to read the government records. That should put anybody to sleep. And he found out that Mordecai hadn't been rewarded for saving his life. And so he said, well, who's out there that we can reward this man? He said, well, Haman's out there. He wants something from you. Because Haman was wanting to hang Mordecai. And then the whole hinge of history turned on one little thing like a night's sleep. When you think of our country, it doesn't seem logical that a few colonies of inexperienced militia could defeat the armies and navy of the greatest power in the world, Great Britain. And in the first part of the war, the Revolutionary War, it looked like it was over very quickly. Washington and his army was trapped there in New York. But all of a sudden, there happened to be a strange fog came over the river behind them. And they were rowed across the river right under the guns of the British. If there was then had lifted, they would have been blown away. And they were defeated. They had a defensive action all across down to the Delaware River. And they finally crossed, hoping that the river would keep them at least safe for the winter. And so there was a Hessian garrison there in Trenton, right across the Delaware. And of course, you know the story of how Washington had to do something because his army was leaving him. His enlistees who weren't enlisted for a year, their year was about up, and some were deserting. Everybody said it's finished, but he said, well, I've got to do something. And so he decided to cross the Delaware. One reason, because it was freezing. If it was freezing, the enemy could come across anyway. And so on Christmas Eve, he crossed. And if any way the enemy had found out they were coming, they'd have been gone. They'd have been deserted, because they didn't have enough troops to capture a fortified defensive area of trained Hessian troops. And there was different Tories that had given information to the general there, the Tory colonel, rather, and saying that there was activity among the rebels across the river. But he had a disdain for the Americans, and so he didn't think they could be up to any do any good. And so he just kind of neglected to even think about, except that he had his post guarding. And something strange happened. There was a strange attack after Washington had crossed and was moving in the night toward Trenton. There was a strange attack on one of his posts. It wasn't any of Washington's soldiers. And to this day, they don't know who it was. It might have been some farmers who were aggravated at the treatment that the Hessians had given them. It might have been some straggling of his army who was moving across. But somehow it was attacked, and it was quickly dispelled. And that, to the Hessian commander, said, well, that must be what all of this reports were about, and so it's over. And so he decided to celebrate Christmas Eve doing his favorite thing, drinking and playing cards. But while he was drinking and playing cards on Christmas Eve, another Tory farmer came and told him that Washington's army was crossing the Delaware. And they could have been ready for them and obliterated them. But it so happened that the aide at the door said, you can't see the commander, he's busy. Just write out your message. And so he wrote it out, a piece of paper, and gave it to him. He handed it to the German commander. He looked at it, but it was in English, and he couldn't read English. He's a German. He put it in his pocket. He said, I'll get it translated tomorrow morning. If he had known what that had said, the whole history of America would have been different. The next day, he was laying dying, and when he found out what that note said, he said, if I'd have known what that note said, I wouldn't be lying here. And so we know the story that Washington surprised them, captured that whole garrison. It changed the attitude of France to come to our aid. It rallied the patriots to start supporting, and his army began to grow. It was actually the turning point of the war. All hinged upon a note that was put in a commander's pocket and was unread. You think God had anything to do with that? I believe so. We ought to be thankful for the country we have. It's here because of the great providence of God. And the very fact that you could move an army of colonials of Washington and the French fleet and the French army all meeting at the right place at the right time to capture Cornwallis and end the war itself is called a miracle. Because there's no communication in those days. You send a letter 100 miles away. By the time it got there, the news was old, and what you're trying to warn them about would have been over. So God put this all together, I believe, and gave us this nation. And I believe he's not through with it yet. Because he has saints of God here who are praying. But the days are looking darker. But may we pray for our country. We're commanded to do that, aren't we? We're commanded to pray for those in authority over us, and that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Now, that doesn't mean sitting back in our comfort zone. It means that we have the peace to do what we're told to do. Because the context says we're to preach that evangelism, preaching the gospel to the world. And so may we be busy about our business while we have the freedom, and pray for God to work in our nation in mercy. Amen. There's our 4th of July patriotic message.